Martha, I think there's a lot that I'd like to talk to you about, but you were a CRTC commissioner yourself. Can you tell us a little bit about your own experience at the CRTC?
I was appointed in 1998 for a four-year term as the Ontario Regional Commissioner. So I came out of a broadcasting and communications background, and it was a really interesting experience.
And what year was that, and how long were you there?
So 1998 to 2002.
2002. During the time that you were commissioner, were there problems in campus radio? Was it any different than, you know, than now?
Well, in fact, there were problems with some campus radio stations during the time that I was there. We actually did a review of the campus radio policy during that time period. And I recall very specifically that there were some pretty serious governance issues at CIUT, at the University of Toronto. I think that it's the nature of the beast. I think that because they're not sort of professionally owned and operated market-driven radio stations, you know, the structures that are put together in order to run them are a bit looser. And as a consequence, some of them have a lot of difficulty sort of meeting the regulatory requirements. Public airwaves are considered, you know, a privilege for, you know, the large commercial broadcasters, you know, who are making a lot of money using the public airwaves. There are very strict requirements in terms of what they have to give back to the Canadian broadcasting system in order to enjoy the right of using those public airwaves.
Right.
For a community station or a campus radio station, I mean, there are requirements with respect to Canadian content, and there are sort of general requirements with respect to how the on-air people conduct themselves, the language that they use, the standards of presentation. And then there are things like, you know, being able to demonstrate your levels of Canadian content through logger tapes and, you know, programming records that are kept by the station. So regardless of whether or not it's a community or campus radio station, it does need some infrastructure in order to support that.
Right. And in your time, was there ever an instance where the CRTC actually revoked the license of a
no.
radio station?
No, absolutely not. And I mean, I've read the CKLN decision and Commissioner Poirier's dissent, and I do find it extreme. I mean, clearly, they've been on the air for 28 years. They were the first campus radio station to be licensed. I mean, I remember listening to that station when I lived in Toronto. I think it was a different call sign at the time. But, you know, clearly they went through a very, very bad time. That's not to say, don't worry, you don't need to, you know, fulfill your requirements under the Broadcasting Act or under the regulations. You know, they have to put those structures into place, but I think that you have to look at the record of the station overall and not just this sort of last period. I mean, if they've been on the air for 28 years, were they in non-compliance the entire time? You know, there have been other broadcasters, commercial broadcasters, who've been in non-compliance, and the commission hasn't been as tough as that. So I find it highly unusual that they did that.
The CRTC hasn't only made a decision against CKLN, but they've also made decisions when it comes to making adjustments within their own statutes when it comes to Fox News North mm-hmm. and the issue of usage-based internet billing.
Right.
So they've made some very controversial decisions. And I'd like to know from you, during your time in the CRTC, did you go through a period like the CRTC is going through right now?
There are always decisions that are controversial that come out of the CRTC, and there always have been. I mean, as long as I've been connected with broadcasting, which dates back to the 1980s, you know, there have been very controversial decisions. You know, with respect to the cabinet interference, that seems to be a little more intense than it has been. the cabinet power under the Broadcasting Act to send a decision back for review is one that has not been used very often in the past. So the fact that it's being used more often now could be indicative of a change in politics more than anything else, in my view.
Can you just tell us a bit about the structure of the commission? How are commissioners appointed to the CRTC?
Well, they're appointed by the Prime Minister's office through order in council appointments. So from the chair to the vice chairs of broadcasting and telecommunications to the individual commissioners, they're all appointed by the Prime Minister's office. So those appointees are reviewed by the appointment secretary in the Prime Minister's office and then are appointed through order in council. Now, the CRTC is a quasi-judicial body, and it operates at arm's length from the government, and all of that is enshrined in the Broadcasting Act. So, you know, interference, political interference, is not something that's supposed to carry a lot of sway. But having said that, I mean, you'd have to be naive to think that there was not some level of political influence taking place, whether it's overt, like the cabinet sending back a decision, or maybe less overt, you know, somebody saying something at a cocktail party.
Yeah.
So, you know, every prime minister deals with appointments in his or her own particular way. You know, there's no guarantee. It's sort of like the Senate, you know, mm-hmm. appointing a senator.
Right, right.
And, you know, different prime ministers try to be nonpartisan. And I think that, you know, over the course of the last 15 to 20 years, that a concerted effort has been made to appoint people who can bring some knowledge and expertise to that particular organization, because the issues that you're dealing with are highly complex. You know, you're dealing with two entire industries, telecommunications and broadcasting, and the issues are very complex. I know for myself, when I went there, I had a background in broadcasting and I had a shallow background in telecommunications. I had worked in telecom for a couple of years, but on the regulatory side, and not sort of in terms of, you know, the actual regulations governing the operations of the company. So, you know, it's sort of like doing a PhD in communications when you go in there and you have to learn everything that you need to know in order to be able to regulate the industry. So I think some effort has been made to try and find people who have some qualifications to back up. Having said that, I think it's fair to say that there has been a real shift over the course of the last 10 to 15 years that has been, I think, initially created by the incredible consolidation that took place, particularly in the broadcasting industry. Telecommunications doesn't have quite the same impact on the public as broadcasting does in terms of the voices that we hear and the messages that are delivered through the various news media or television media outlets. So I think that there has been a shift, you know, in terms of fewer corporations controlling the outlets, which is exactly what's happened in the U.S. You know, there's been massive consolidation.
That's right.
And so there are huge corporations in the U.S. with very particular political points of view, and those political points of view are pushed through the media outlets. And I think that's you know, that's the big concern where Fox News North is concerned.
That's right. I mean, this is now we're going to move from talking about CKLN, which is an unprecedented situation, to another unprecedented, you know, decision that the CRTC is making to make a rule change that would allow news that is false to be broadcast. And that is sort of going back to what you were saying, is that if you're bringing in commissioners to set up a structure of regulations to protect the Canadian public, what would be the point of trying to break that down? I mean, there was an article today calling Harper's politics sledgehammer politics. Breaking things first and then trying to fix it later.
Another one of the articles that I actually read about the cabinet interference in the CRTC said that rather than an arm's-length body, it was a knuckles-length body, which I thought was a really good way to describe what's going on there.
Now there's an enormous push on the internet by avaz.org to send in petitions to the CRTC to try to get them to stop this decision.
The rule change. And I mean, I'm not an expert on this, okay? I mean, I've been away from the commission for a long time. And from what I've read, the rule change flows from a court decision.
Right, from 15 years ago.
Right, and they never made the change.
Yeah.
In their standards or regulations or whatever it is that they're changing.
Mm-hmm.
And so now all of a sudden when Fox News North, which was initially denied, the application was initially denied because they wanted the public to pay for it.
This was Sun TV, right?
Sun TV wanted the public to pay for it, and the CRTC said, forget it.
Right.
You can come in, but you're on your own. You know, market forces.
A lot of people respond to internet campaigns, which is why the Harper government had to put pressure on the CRTC to reverse its decision on usage-based internet billing.
Right.
And this is my other question for you. When it comes to a CRTC decision, I mean, we've seen them reverse the decision when it comes to usage-based internet billing. What about revoking a license? What would it take for the CRTC to reverse their decision about revoking the license of a radio station like CKLN?
It might take cabinet direction.
So similar to what's happened in the internet billing.
Yeah.
So they would have to have enough of a reason. Because I think the internet billing campaign had about 300,000 signatures.
On Avaz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Avaz is at about 50,000 to 60,000. And I think we are at CKLN, we're at about 5,000. Would it take like a political campaign to be able to reverse this decision? And the other question is, what happens if we just go through the courts like we're going through now?
Well, I mean, you can go through the courts, but you'll never have as much money as the federal government. I mean, the CRTC has its own lawyers.
So they can,
in-house.
Right.
So, I mean, if CKLN is just going to hire a full-time station manager by the end of this month, how are they going to afford the legal bills to try and fight that? I personally would be going the political route and trying to mobilize some political support to have it sent back. I mean, not that I agree with the cabinet sending decisions back too often, but I mean, the reality of it is that if you want to try and reverse the decision, then your best hope is to have cabinet send back a direction.
And I think on that note, Martha, I want to thank you for joining us on Wednesday Word of Mouth here on CKLN.